Listen,
I'm Steve Young. You're watching the Letterman Podcast.
I was good, but I had a bad year.
La, 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 la.
Welcome once again to the Letterman Podcast. My name is Mike Chisholm. The celebration of Rupert G and Mei Chin selling the Hello Deli and retiring, selling soup and sandwiches and smiles, although those were free, for over 30 years in New York, continues on with this episode. We're going to do one more episode here talking about the big event in New York. The guests tonight are Darren Cox, very first guest on the Letterman Podcast, and has shown up subsequent times as well as guests and guest appearances on other episodes. And then, of course, the one and only Don Giller. We're going to talk about the that night at the Ed Sullivan Theater celebrating Rupert and Mei. And we're going to talk about the next night when we all went to the mansion. Hopefully, I'm pretty sure I don't necessarily double dip on stories that were told on the episode that Candace and I did last week. I don't think there are, but it's really cool hearing Darren and Don's experiences. And I'm just really excited about this. Now, the Hello Deli may be closed. However, hello-deli.com is still thriving. You can still go there and buy Late Show with David Letterman merchandise, like a mug, like a shirt, or two, or three, or four. Buy a bunch. Rupert merchandise, I think, might still be there, but I'm not certain at this point. Go to hello-deli.com and check it on out. Very, very excited to present the Letterman Podcast with Mike Chisholm is proud to present Darren Cox and Don Giller. Okay, boys, we got to be part of something pretty extraordinary last week, both of us being to Rupert G's retirement party in the lobby of the historic Ed Sullivan Theater. You know, Late Show staffers were the vast majority of the attendees that were there, a few honored guests, and then three people who had absolutely no business being there whatsoever. That was a fun night. Holy smokes, was that fun.
What are you talking about?
That's absolutely true. Yeah. Now, I remember it was a few weeks ago, maybe more than a month ago, when we were talking on the phone, and because I've been asking you, we should do some type of project together. It'd be great to work on a project together. Yep. And I said, it'd be great if we could, you know, meet face to face sometime, because, you know, you've been on my show a couple times. I've been on your show a couple times, and I don't know how many phone calls we've had and God knows how many text messages and all that. And I like
meeting. Been on mine, which is nice.
Yeah. Both of us haven't been on Don's show yet.
No, you have.
No, I have not been on Don's show yet.
No, you have. You just don't know it yet.
Oh, okay. But yeah, I remember you said that, he says, what are you doing October 6th? Are you going to be in New York? I'm like, no, I'm not going to be in New York. And he said, do you want to be? And I said, why? And you told me that Rupert was having the farewell party. And I remember saying, well, you can't invite me to that. And you said, well, I absolutely can. As a matter of fact, I already have. I thought, well, okay then. So, you know, that's why I went. I would say, like to say,
yeah,
that,
but I didn't think you'd come. No,
and he didn't want you to come.
You shouldn't have.
I invited three dozen people who could never ever get there, but you know, you were the exception to the rule. No,
I was not going to pass up on this.
I had spoken with Irene. I had spoke. Here's how this all went. I had spoken with Irene because when this you know, came to my attention that it was happening, Candace and I immediately said, okay, we got to figure out a way to get there. And a whole bunch of things, fates conspired, and we could make it happen. And I thought about it, and it was like, okay, in my mind, and Don, I don't know if you have any insights on this or not, other than if they do like a 10-year reunion or something, I don't know that Worldwide Pants is ever going to do something at the Ed Sullivan Theater ever again. And so it was like, well, if we could maybe, are there anybody else that we could maybe see who could be there? And I went with Irene. I talked about a few people, and it was like, yeah, no, these people should absolutely come to say goodbye to Rupert, because it is Rupert's party. It is a Worldwide Pants kind of reunion, but it is also Rupert's retirement party, and it's the only one he's going to have. His plan was to kind of move off into the sunset, and I don't know if we've publicly said this or not, but I'll say it right now. One of the things that convinced Rupert to actually have the party was that someone from the Letterman camp said to him, look, we get together, you know, when something bad happens. We get together when somebody dies or something. Very rarely do we get a chance to get together when something really nice happens or something good happens. And while it's sad that Rupert and May are retiring, the fact that this was a celebration for them in welcoming them to the next chapter of their lives, this was something that was really good, and it was an uplifting thing. And so that was where those invites went out. And I'm so glad that you were there, man. Like, that was really, really good. And Don, I got to tell you, I had a bet with my wife if you were going to show up or not. And I was very happy when you showed up for that as well. And I'm really grateful to say that we can have this discussion tonight and talk about this amazing time that we had together.
Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
There's going to be another gathering next week. And then one in a big Thanksgiving thing.
Oh, great. Canadian Thanksgiving. They're going to celebrate Canadian Thanksgiving in New York. Great.
Early harvest.
I think it'll be Christmas, right, and the New Year's, Valentine's Day. They're a lot. I'm not invited to any of them, but there's stuff going on.
Yeah.
How did you flew, Darren?
Yeah. Libby and I flew up there.
And boy, are your arms tired.
And boy, yeah. But yeah. But no, I wasn't going to miss it. I mean, this opportunity, and had I not already, so Irene had contacted me, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks ago. I don't know, longer than that. She had sent me a Facebook friend request, and we got to know each other over the Facebook. So, you know, had I not already had some sort of, she knew who I was and liked me. And I don't think I would have been truly comfortable, but Irene said, you know, Rupert is going to love meeting you, and she couldn't wait for me to come. And so that I did feel comfortable coming, because I'm like, you know, Irene's okay with it. And then I was good with that, because I really didn't want to be, you know, like, feel like I was crashing a wedding, which, I mean, I essentially was. But I was just actually invited, so.
Okay. Yeah, I told Walter that after the Dave Channel crashes and burns, he has a future in wedding planning.
Oh yeah,
it was real. Like I said this to Walter, and then I sent a message to Barbara as well, saying that they threaded the needle of the exact right tone, the exact perfect amount of formal, you know, presentation, and emotion. Like, it was really a perfect evening from a group that, you know, isn't really known for being over emotional. I thought it was the absolute perfect formula for a retirement party for Rupert.
I'm not sure that neither neither is two. What's a word for three?
Three-ther.
That three-ther of us know if that's true or not.
Okay.
in terms of warmth and family, I don't think we're in that position to say that.
Right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I didn't think anybody felt uncomfortable. Everyone seemed just an absolute blast.
I was uncomfortable. I was the only one wearing a damn mask.
Well.
And gloves. I didn't know that you could actually manipulate the telephone with those gloves on. Are they special gloves that allow you to use the touchscreen? I thought that
They're special iPhone gloves.
Well, there you go.
Look at you. I don't know.
They make iPhone gloves.
Yeah, they do. Everyone knows that.
I don't think they're sterile, but they do make them.
Really?
Yeah.
In
order to protect your hands from the cold and not from infection and disease.
Darren, so you hadn't been in New York in quite some time, you and Libby. You guys went and saw a couple of shows, and then you were there a day before, right?
Yeah, we got there on Thursday, and you know, did the touristy thing, saw Times Square. We saw a woman peeing next to a hot dog cart. That was awesome. Libby saw a couple guys shooting up. That was great.
Say that again?
We saw a woman peeing next to a hot dog cart.
That's what I thought you said.
That's what I said. That's exactly what I said. Welcome to New York. But we went to the Metropolitan Museum of Art and got some culture in. It's a beautiful beautiful art museum. So we enjoyed that. We went to see Six, the Broadway show about the six wives of Henry VIII. Very funny. The singing was just unbelievable. And I didn't know anything about it. And Libby had heard a little bit. We knew we were going to see something. So she wanted to see that. And then it was a good time. So, but the highlight was absolutely going to the Ed Sullivan Theater. Because I've been to New York twice before, once in high school. But when we were in high school, we didn't get to do anything. We drove through New York. We didn't even get to get off the bus.
It was the hair.
Yeah, that is right. I was a punk in high school, and then I was a punk in 96 when so my buddy Don and I, we worked together at my first TV station, and you know, Dave moved to CBS a couple of weeks after I started in television. So and then my mom was always, you know, losing her mind because she thought Dave and I worked together. I'm like, Mom, I work for a CBS affiliate in Johnson City. Dave works for the network. He doesn't know me. We don't ride in together. It's not, yeah.
Like you're going to see him in the halls.
I do not pass him in the hall. We don't get coffee, you know. So the last time I had been in New York was in 96, almost 27 years. So, but, you know, I had to come back for this, and it was wild being in the Ed Sullivan Theater again. And as Don knows, the one time I was on at the show, I made it on the show with the clip of me sitting next to Elle McPherson. I went into the studio or the theater when we were there at the Ed Sullivan, and they took out the, there you go. They had taken out the chairs, but I got to sit in the, like near the spot where I was sitting when I was on the show.
And had a separate chair for your hair, for that mullet. Yeah, yeah, that's two right. Seats right there. One for Darren, one for the hair.
Yeah, well,
there's the lovely Elle McPherson right beside him. There we go.
Yeah. Yep.
Some dual screen action going on.
Yep. There was the lady in line behind me, she had said, she got a picture of me. She says, I want to get a picture of Elle McPherson's boyfriend. I'm like, sure. So
you met Rupert as well, right?
Say what?
That trip you met Rupert as well, right?
I did. We went to the Ed Sullivan we went to the Hello Deli, and I got the Dave Letterman sandwich. I don't remember what my buddy Don ordered, but we met Rupert. I got a picture with him. The nicest person in New York. Absolutely the nicest person. Got a Hello Deli t-shirt, the white one with the black print. Mm-hmm. I still have it. I was actually going to get Rupert to autograph it, but I forgot to bring it to the party.
There's two social media posts that you put up from your trip to New York. One was when you were at the Met, and I love this. I was in the section of art that I could do. I love that.
The things that I can really, do really section. Great. Yes.
And then there was another picture, a picture of you back in 96 beside Rupert, and then a picture of you beside Rupert in 2023, which I thought was great. Oh, there he is right there. And you made the staff photo at the event right beside Paul Schaefer and Sarah Jewell. And I mean, my gosh, is that Mike Seidel up front? I think that's Mike.
Yeah. But yeah. That's that. Me. Yeah. That's me between Paul and Sarah Jewell.
Isn't that crazy?
I mean, how did that happen? Seriously, how did that happen?
Don, you know what I love about this picture? The rare Don Giller smile. Don is in the middle of that picture, and he is smiling. He's got a big grin on his face. Even took the mask down, took a major chance and took the mask down. And I love that very much. Let's see. There he is.
No, I'm not in that.
No, you're not in that. That's not where you are. I love how Steve Young is looking off to the right. Yeah. Talking to somebody. Move it over a little bit. Let's see you. There's me beside Steve O'Donnell in the back. And I talked about this in the episode with Candace. We talked about the photographer that was there who happened to be a friend of ours who came with us from Kelowna for the event. You both met Sam, right? She took some amazing shots of that.
You mentioned she's married.
Sam is married. Yes.
Let's sorry to break it to you, Don.
There I am. Right there.
That's Mike McEntee and Walter Kim and
Jerry.
And we got Mr. Foley there.
Jerry
no
Foley.
Don Giller, though. He is there. It's like an episode of Where's Waldo, everybody. Don Giller is actually in the photo somewhere. And he's
You're
smiling.
You're not going to see it here.
Darren, walking in.
Yeah.
Who was the first person that you saw?
All right, here I am. Here
okay.
That's not okay. Okay.
That's an editor. That's an editor.
Hal, can we cut to another camera, please? Yeah. Well, I got there before everything had started. I found you first. You were the first person I talked to.
Yep.
And then
was I the first person? Okay. I thought I was hauling stuff and whatnot when you arrived.
No,
okay,
I saw you and went over and said hi. And then Walter Kim was the first person from Worldwide Pants. And he came over, shook my hand, and seemed very excited that I had come. And so I tell you, I was very nervous coming. Yep. I was like, I don't know that I don't know. But Walter was like, hey, Darren's here. Cool. And, you know, he's a friend of mine on Facebook. And I have some sort of presence on the AFL page. Yep. So I know there's some people there who know me. Yeah, there's a picture of me and Walter Kim
That's a beautiful picture.
Yeah. So, but I think he was the first person from Worldwide Pants. And then I was standing there and I'm just like trying to keep my cool because, you know, this is just, I can't believe that I'm at the Ed Sullivan Theater again. And then Mujibur walks in. I'm like, holy crap, it's Mujibur. And a few minutes later when Sirajul came in, it was there was rumblings and whisperings and oh my God. And people were grabbing people over and pointing. And it was like, you know, Simon and Garfunkel had reunited. And people were just losing their minds and about to see Mujibur and Sirajul. It was so awesome.
Yep.
But I mean, you know, while I was there, there they are.
Yep.
What I mean, my God, while I was there, I got to talk to Mike McEntee, Pat Farmer, Joe Grossman. I got my picture taken with Joe Grossman, and he says, you want me to do the face? And he does the face. And it's just great. I'll have to find it on my camera phone here. So, but I mean, my God, Jerry Foley was amazing. And the editors, Dan and God, I'm forgetting their names, and I apologize
Andrew?
Because they were the coolest
Andrew
guys. Yeah, they were the coolest people you could ever hope to hang out with.
Yep.
The editors of the show.
Yeah.
Because I'm an editor. I work for Antenna TV. I make promos for classic television and the marathons and that type of thing. So we started geeking out, talking nerd talk about editing.
Yep.
And it was just great. But
there was a point where I was in a conversation with three or four of them all at once.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the montage. Because the whole thing was Andrew was like, okay, I might come on your show, but I'm going to bring Dan over here. We're going to talk about it. And then they brought a couple of guys. And then we all look at that with O'Donnell. What a great picture of you with O'Donnell, Darren. Yeah.
Here is
you and Grossman. Oh, yeah, Darren, you did such a good job of getting your picture with all the Letterman legends.
Well, I was like, how am I? Am I ever going to do this again?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. People have been asking me if Anton's going to come on the show. A lot of people have been asking me because he's one of the band members who hasn't been on yet. I talked to Anton there, and yes, we are going to get Anton on here. That's going to happen in a couple of months, probably. Maybe
I told Anton Fig that I enjoyed listening to him when he played with Ace Frehley. He's like, wow, cool, you know? Because, I mean, Anton was a badass before he was on Letterman.
Absolutely.
And then he did a lot of projects while he was on Letterman.
Yep.
And he's just a very, very cool drummer. And one of the things I was talking to Steve O'Donnell about was people like Biff and Anton and Alan Coulter. And I said, you know, did you guys know they were funny when you hired them? Or did they become funny just from their affiliation with the show? And they, you know, a lot of them, weren't sure what they had gotten when they had brought them on, you know. But I think being part of that, they just, you know, with all that talent, with all the humor and the amazing, you know, the writers and the improvers and everything like that. That's a word, improvisers. Of course you're going to become funny working with all.
It took about a year before Anton finally participated in a skit.
Yeah.
And it simply involved interrupting Dave while he was doing a new gift items. And this was Steve O'Donnell's idea. He said he wanted to thank him for being on the show for the year. So that he said, why don't you participate in this? So that was Steve's doing to get Anton's participation.
Yep.
That's such a Steve O'Donnell move. And you know, even talking to at dinner the next night and whatnot, like we spent some time with Steve. I was delighted that Steve came for Rupert's event because he was there at the beginning of Late Show. You know, he was there for the first couple of years, and then it was so big and whatnot. And Steve was one of those guys who I think he liked the show better when it was smaller in the studio and before, you know, they turned it into their version of the Tonight Show, for lack of a better example. But hearing Steve, yeah, I mean, seeing Steve with Rob and Matt right there, like that's just, you look at the generations there, you know, Matt Roberts, of course, being the last head writer for Late Show. You know, the ascent that Rob Burnett from the very beginning all the way to an executive producer at the end, and then such a force within the world of Worldwide Pants. And then of course, Steve O'Donnell, the legendary comedy writer. One of the things about Steve that I just love so much is there are so many people that look back at him as somebody, and myself included. I mean, the other day I sent him a message saying my friend and mentor, and he is, you know, Steve Young. He hired Steve Young and took him under his wing and Kellison and some of these other, oh, there we go. That was, yeah, I was so surprised to see him. And, there's Darren with Steve Young. And I know, you know, the one thing about this event that I love so much is that there's a lot of culminations in it. Darren, when we had Steve Young on the podcast, you know, you came in and did a cameo and you got a chance to ask Steve a question. I think that was, that was in the bathtubs episode we did with him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was absolutely fascinated with Bathtubs Over Broadway.
Yeah,
this picture looks like Clinton visiting a meeting JFK.
Who's who, Don? And who's the
I know who I think I know who JFK is in that picture.
And who's the lovely gal in the middle? Now, Don, you have loved Steve Young from afar for a long, long, long time.
We're just friends.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. How was that? I mean, I know how funny Steve is in real time, in real life and whatnot. That must have been really cool, you getting to know him in the flesh, as they say. Darren, did you hear that?
In the flesh?
No, did you enjoy meeting Steve Young? Like, I mean, you
got to... Oh, I thought you were asking Don. Yeah,
no,
I did enjoy it.
Yes, Darren.
I'm sorry. I thought you were asking Don a question.
No. Don has met Steve on a number of occasions, of course.
I enjoyed meeting Steve very much. We talked. He was getting a snack and a drink, and I was talking to him, and I had mentioned that that it took forever for Bathtubs Over Broadway to come, and I didn't think it was going to come to my town. So I drove almost 2 hours to Columbus, Ohio, to see it there. And he was talking, he says, are we Facebook friends? I said, no, we're not. Not for, you know, me, lack of trying. he laughed and he says, I will accept your friend request. And now that we know each other face to face, and he exactly seems like that type of guy. Once he's met you, then he will, you know, it has a much easier time doing that. So we got to talk at Rupert's party, and then we got to talk more at dinner the next night. And what a very kind, very funny, and very dry personality guy, but just hilarious.
Well, after you know, and we're jumping around here, but I think that's okay. We're just playing around. you know, after the episode, after the
we're just playing episode, grab ass.
You're not in control anymore.
No, it was never there in the first place. When we left, we got ushered out of the theater. We stayed there till the very end. I know, Darren, I think you and I are both of the same mind. I knew that I was going to be one of the last people out of that place. I savored every last little drop of what that event was. And then, you know, people trying to usher us out and send us out. And then you, me, McEntee and yeah. Young and a couple others stayed out there for over an hour just shooting the bull outside the under the marquee.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing was, you know, my wife Libby, who Don thinks I'm not good enough for, but we'll get into that in another podcast. She had to sit down. One of the only problems with the party was there was no place to sit. So her feet were killing her, and she went, she sat down on the steps. I guess they go up to the balcony, and she's sitting there. And then I think it was Nancy who started shooing everybody out. Next thing you know, they close the doors. I'm like, whoa, hold on. My wife is still in there.
Trapped in the Ed Sullivan Theater. Now we got
a Libby almost got trapped in the Ed Sullivan Theater. Yeah.
I'm digging out some pictures. So talk amongst yourselves.
That's great. Okay. Appreciate it. So Don, you met Rupert for the first time again in the flesh in the theater then, like when you came into the lobby. Darren.
Yeah.
You keep on referring to Darren as me.
Oh gosh. Did I say Don? I thought I said Darren, but
I was about to say, Mike, I don't know where you're doing your research. Don,
it's not me. It's not my ears.
Yeah. It's like, have you not heard the banana story? Outside of 96, having my picture taken with Rupert. And then, yeah. You know, he talked to me for maybe five or 10 minutes that day. Seeing him at the party was the first time we had any type of real relationship or not real conversation. So we had a little bit of a conversation, and then I was like trying to, you know, talk to him as much as I could before everybody bombarded him, because I knew that it wasn't going to happen. It was his night. So, you know, I said it was nice to meet him, and I think, you know, fondly of Irene, and I was glad to be there, and, you know, thank you for having me at the party. And then, but at the dinner, you know, I got to sit down next to him and talk for a while, and he, you know, I remembered things about segments that he did not remember doing at all. And, you know, because when I got this t-shirt here, yep. The tribute question was, on the night the Hello Deli was used as the green room, you know, Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, Kris Kristofferson, and Waylon Jennings sat in the green room. What was the name of their band? And it's the Highwaymen. And I got this shirt. So I'm talking to Rupert about that. And he said, because I'm a here, this is how big a Johnny Cash fan I am. I've got his picture on my desk.
Wow.
With autographed Johnny Cash picture. Yeah. So
who are the other two people? You got Mary Lou Henner, but there's one other person who was there.
Mario Van Peebles.
All right. You win.
Yeah. So thank you.
Well done, Darren.
Yeah. So, but he's like, Johnny Cash wasn't in my deli. I said, yeah, he was. He says, no, I don't think he was. I said, Rupert, Johnny Cash was in your deli. And so, you know, Steve Weiner's wife, Lori, calls Don to, you know, it's like, Rupert will believe Don. But yeah, he didn't remember. He's like, am I losing my mind? I said, maybe. I don't know.
This is one of the things that I Candy and I just love watching Rupert and Irene interact with each other. Like, it's so funny. It's like a 50s screwball sitcom couple. Like, they're just
so
funny.
It was Route 23, dear.
and the thing is, Irene knows more of the celebrities and more of the people who have been in the deli, and she will constantly jog Rupert's memory, and it's adorable to watch. It's fun reminding him of a segment. I think he really gets a kick out of when somebody comes up to him and reminds him of a segment, and then his memory comes back and he goes, oh yeah, and he gets, it's like he gets joy from it again, because he is so, I don't even know what to say, like naively aloof about the people who were there, because he's just so humble. He's just so,
also,
you know, everybody is equal on his, in Rupert's world.
You're in the middle of a hurricane or a tornado. Yes. Yes. I mean, you're the center of it. It's like, I remember, you know, John Lennon was asked, what do you think of the concert in Cleveland? I said, I don't know. You know, it all blurs together.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
And yet for some people in that audience, it was the greatest moment of their life. Oh, what do we got there?
This is from 1997. There's Steve and his then gal pal, Maria Pope.
Yep.
And that's Steve's Cleveland friend Gene Coleman. And this is in Steve's backyard. And then I
and
have
the person
one.
In the sharp blue, of course.
Yeah, this is 97. Oh, I ended up destroying one of their glasses. Mm. And this is later that fall. That's to the sitting with me is a woman named Monica Bay.
Yep.
And there's Steve and there's Jay and there's Walter.
Oh, that's awesome. Don, you were a kid in that photo.
I was, I weighed okay then.
I loved seeing, and I mean, you know, Jay was doing the, so for those who have watched already, and I think most people who are watching this have gone to the YouTube, the Letterman YouTube channel and watched the festivities. Just so great to see that they filmed it and put it up there. And it was Jay Johnson, of course, who was the videographer that night. And seeing Walter and Jay put this thing on, I said to Rob Burnett, I said, it's kind of like watching your kids, you know, have become adults and are doing cool things and whatnot. And he talked about how surreal it was. It was cool to see Walter and Jay doing something together again. That just seems right to me.
Oh,
it was a fun party. It was a lot of fun.
Darren, if of all the people that you met, let's take Rupert and Irene out of it, because you came, you know, they were there for the party. Obviously, you were there for them and to but Rupert, you know, even said to me, and we talked about how it was Rupert's retirement party, but it was also the catalyst for a big reunion of all these people to get back together. Many of the people, it was the first time back in the theater since 2015. Darren, you know a lot of these people by reputation and in your enthusiasm. Who were kind of two or three of the people that you met there that you just are like still pinching yourself about having met at the party?
I mean, besides me.
Besides Don Giller, of course.
Okay, well, take that. Don Giller. Don Giller, number one.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Paul. Yeah. My God, Paul was so, had such a hand in the entertainment value of that show, because not only was, you know, the band amazing, but he was quick and he was always, you know, he was just like a perfect sidekick and just always entertaining. And I got to talk to him because right before the pandemic, Paul came to Cincinnati and performed with the Cincinnati Pops, because I don't know that anybody knows this about Cincinnati, but James Brown got his start in Cincinnati. That's where he recorded his first record. And so Paul came and he brought Felicia with him, and he did the James Brown Kate bit. And I was two rows away from Paul doing the Kate bit. And I'm talking to him about this, and he's like, "Oh, that's fabulous." And he says, "Why didn't you come back and say hi?" I'm like, "Well, I didn't have backstage passes, Paul," which is why.
Is that when he did the Little Wing on the solo piano piece, Jimi Hendrix?
No,
I'm stepping on you.
No, it's okay.
Okay,
I don't remember him doing. I don't remember him doing Little Wing, but he did the James Brown bit, and then they played a lot of stuff from the 50s and 60s with the Cincinnati Pops. So, I mean, Paul, it was so great meeting him. I got to meet Rob Burnett and talk to him about how much I love the TV show Ed.
Yeah.
And I think it meant a lot to him. And because, I mean, God, my wife and I, we looked forward to every single episode of that show. And I wish it was in syndication. I wish I could buy it on DVD or something so I could watch it again. And he appreciated that. And then, you know, of course, the writers. I mean, that Steve Young is amazing, and Joe Grossman, you know, did the face, and he was hilarious. I got to talk to Bob Borden about the Four Corner Burrito Bonanza, which he, I don't think, enjoyed that bit as much as I did. but you know, it was great. It was just, I mean, so many people, and then seeing Muji Burr and Sarah Jewell again.
Yeah,
and then Muji Burr wanted to talk to me. He was very impressed And he kept coming over and looking at me while I was talking to other people. And then Mujibur got closer and closer and was just had this big smile on his face. And I said, hi, Mujibur. And he said, I enjoyed that thing you did with the basketball. And I said, Mujibur, I don't know what you're talking about. And he says, the bit you did with the basketball. And I said, I'm sorry, you've got me confused with somebody else. I don't know.
I'm wondering if he was thinking of or Art Garfunkel and Gary Mintz.
Who's Gary Mintz?
Yeah, Gary Mintz was one of the tech people on the show.
Oh, yes, yes. He looked just like Art Garfunkel.
Right, and so they did a basketball shootout.
Okay.
On 53rd. Maybe that's what he was thinking of.
Well, I remember Pat Farmer dropping the ball off the roof and then getting inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. It's an honorary membership. He talked to me about that. It's honorary.
So he thought you were Wilt Chamberlain. You know, who knows?
He might have thought I was Wilt Chamberlain. I look more like Larry Bird than Wilt Chamberlain.
I don't know. It's tough to say.
Well, I mean, I'm bald now, so I don't look, you know, like, but
Darren, any moments of terror? I know you were a little bit feeling like, okay, you're outsider. Like, okay. Yeah, I know you had that feeling. You were nervous at first. Then you got clearly more comfortable. Mm-hmm. That was good. Any moments of terror while you were there?
Well, there were some people who I was afraid to approach, and I'm not going to mention them because I'm still afraid of these people. we're just going to leave it with that. Very kind. Nobody was rude to me. Kathy did it's like I was walking by her and then I think she zigged and I zagged and almost bumped into her and I said, oh hi, how are you? And she goes, good, when did you work for the show? I said I didn't, I almost lied and said, you know, 93 to 96. I was in the office down from Suham, right? Come on, I used to bring you coffee. I'm here and I'm probably not supposed to be, but ooh, Pat Farmer.
Her or you? Her.
As Kathy runs over to the welcoming arms of Pat Farmer. Yeah. Don, who hadn't you seen for a while that you were pleased to see? I know you had a good time there as well.
I'm sorry?
I know you had a good time there.
Freezes occasionally.
Oh, no problem. Who was somebody that you were pleased to see that night?
I talked to Kathy, which was nice.
Yeah.
Tommy.
Isn't Tommy Ruprecht a prince? He's such a good guy.
It was, I mean, Dan Fetter.
Yep.
And Chris UK. If you're not familiar with those names, they were Chris Albers was Paul's first music assistant back on Late Night starting in 88, and then he came to the Late Show, but then he left soon after the show had started. Yep. And Chris Chiquet was hired and he succeeded. Yep. Chris Albers, and I think they were looking for another Chris, but they couldn't find one, so they found a Dan. And Dan succeeded Chris. I don't have a date for that. And then Dan was there for the rest of the run. In fact, he stayed with Colbert for a few years.
Yeah, I want to say it was 05 or 06 or whatever. And then Chris Shakai stayed on doing some administrative stuff, but from remotely from Nebraska. Yeah, that was great. When Chris and I just kind of, I ran at Chris and gave him a huge hug. It was so good to see him. And he did such a good job with the trivia contest as well. He's got just such a dynamic personality. It was so good to see Chris there as well. I felt the same way.
And there was Sam, you know, I like talking to Sam.
Well, of course, don't we all? Sam did an amazing job with the photograph. So as you're, you know, Candy and I talked about that on our episode, how we brought
Candy. Who's Candy? Is
the lovely Candace Chisholm.
I told her she could do better.
She absolutely can do better.
I told everybody. I told every woman I met that they could do better.
You kept asking Rupert if he had the banana, and I think it took him a minute to understand what you were talking about.
Because whenever I went in there, I'd buy or he'd either give he I'd ask for it, but he would insist that I take it. And I said, no, nah, I didn't want to steal from him. I
mean, right.
I did, but that stuff he didn't know about.
You did, but you weren't happy about it.
No, I was happy about it, but a banana was too, you know, I'd rather have paid for it.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite. I like this picture a lot.
That's a great picture.
Oh, that is a great picture.
Yeah. This is when Walter was thanking Matt for writing the lyrics to Paul's thing. I mean, in a way, video tape or, you know, capturing everything on video was just a pain in the ass when I got home and converted everything, because it was transferring and then it wasn't transferring. I had to reboot the iPhone, reboot the computer, and finally got it. And then there are some videos where I started this way, but I immediately went here. But because of that entire like 30 minutes, it was rotated at 90 degrees. So I had to fix that. But I found this is when it gets fun, when you find things that you probably couldn't have captured if you weren't quick enough to take pictures.
Yep.
And that was one of them. So I like that one.
Absolutely.
So a couple of things I got to do when I was talking with Jerry Foley, you know, I got to ask him if it ever bothered him that they kept saying "Roll It, Hal," you know, all these years after Hal Gurney retired.
That's a great question. That's a question and I would have asked him if he was on the
and
show.
And he just said that, you know, it's like Hal Gurney was such a great guy, such a nice person, such a wonderful director, that for somebody to say that, he just considered it an honor and it never bothered him.
Yeah.
And then when I was talking with Matt Roberts, I always wanted to know who the writer was who wrote the commercial for Crystal Clear Party Ice. Because it's not a party without party ice. And it's not crystal clear party ice unless it's crystal clear, the way party ice is supposed to be. And he says that he thinks it was Dave. And really? So, because, you know, Mike, you've been on my podcast, Irritable Dad Syndrome.
Yes, sir.
Crystal Clear Party Ice was like the inspiration for me to write bogus commercials. Yes. When our show gets really dull and I throw in one of my fake commercials to wake people up, you know, our main sponsor is Whompers All Beef Foot Long Hot Dogs. And it's not a real product. And they've been our sponsor for 2 years now, you know. Get a ruler and measure it yourself. If your hot dog's not a foot long, they'll give you your money back guaranteed. That's a jingle. We've got t-shirts and coffee mugs with Whompers, all be foot long hot dogs. My announcer, Dave Lay, didn't know it was a fake product. But anyway, so yeah, Matt Roberts told me that he's pretty sure it was Dave who wrote that. So, I mean, that was brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. And just, you know, finding out these little things about the show. And the coolest thing is like being in Disneyland for me, because every single person in that room had something to do with David Letterman, The Late Show and Late Night being such a huge part of my life.
Yeah.
And now I'm going completely geek fanboy here, but I'm, you know, like you guys.
That's what I'm so unsatisfied with. Whenever I'm with these people, I turn into a fanboy.
Yeah, I embrace it.
And when I went in, I was like, you know, I don't want to, you know, get creepy and stalkery, but I do. You know, I wanted to ask some questions. Oh. I wanted to find out, you know, a few things, because when am I ever going to get this opportunity again? Yeah. Hope I get this opportunity again, because I genuinely had a great time hanging out with these people. I loved them.
Yeah.
I sent that great to Barbara.
Well, and those who don't know, Steve and Barbara actually switched glasses for that photo. They switched eyeglasses and nobody knew it.
What?
And they were an item.
A joke on everybody else. Well done, you two.
And they were an item too.
Those look like the same glasses. Yeah.
Isn't that cool? Okay. I got a chance to have a cool little moment with Barbara. Somebody had told me, they had asked her, it was a former guest on the show here, and they had asked Barbara if they had met me yet, if she had met me yet. And she said, yeah, I met him last year. He swooned. That was Barbara's response, that I swooned. And I'm like, yeah, I'll take that. I absolutely did. It was very, very cool having a moment with her there. Okay. Yeah. Don, I don't know if you,
yeah, I thought you were going to talk about this.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So if you look at that iPod, Late Show 2006, you can see it there. Don's holding up an old iPod Shuffle. And it was at the party. And so what Don and I got a chance to do was go up to Barbara and say, hey, rumor has it that you gave this out to the entire staff.
You did that. I didn't.
Okay, I did it. Rumor has it that you gave one of those to the entire staff for Christmas. And then she looked at it and she looked really close at the monogram on it. And she's like, yeah, I did. And the first response was, well, these are the types of mysteries, the hard hitting mysteries that we're trying to solve here on the Letterman podcast, is who gave out the iPod to the staff in 2000.
This is what I'll treasure.
I gave that to Don. I said, here you go, buddy. I brought you a present. And the little iPod was underneath it. You couldn't tell.
Yeah, I said, oh, this is very thoughtful.
A damn bow.
Yeah. You're a buddy.
Yep.
what do you get for the guy who has everything? That was like the one Letterman thing that I have that maybe Don didn't have.
No, I don't have one of these.
You're holding.
I may, because I don't throw this stuff out, so I may have one of these.
I kept my little button, the goodbye hello deli, and I kept one for Candace. I'm going to send Rupert didn't even get one. Steve O'Donnell or Steve Young, one of my favorite parts of the night is Steve Young, as he's leaving, has two of the little cups that have the logo on it. So I'm taking these home to put them on eBay.
That sounded like Steve. Yeah,
there they are right there. Yeah. That's a rare Letterman keepsake right there. I love the logo. I'm going to ask Walter if he'll send me a copy of the picture of it.
There we go.
There it is right there. Goodbye, hello, deli, and then the date. Really, really, really sweet.
I asked Walter when he's going to get a cease and desist from the Beatles.
From the Beatles or the Oscar Mayer people?
No, the Beatles. Well, you got to watch the video.
Okay.
Yeah, it's it was a hell of a night. And then the next night, okay, do we have anything else that we want to talk about that night of the night of the program was very good. The video of Dave. I mean, we saw a video of Dave that didn't appear on the YouTube. Dave shot a separate intro. And the video we saw of Dave, which came right after the California crew.
Mm-hmm.
As funny as
Dave was, it was Mary Barkley calling him, hey, asshole. Oh,
that was the best part. That was the best part. Dave was talking. And I mean, I don't want to give away the entire video. I don't want to, because they obviously took it off for a reason. So I don't want to give away the entire video. But Dave was talking and talking and talking. And then Mary, off camera, just loses it on him and just starts going,
hey, asshole, he's not dead.
And it was, I don't want to reveal the content of it, but it was. Oh, go ahead, Don.
No, only that I kind of got the feeling while watching it that it wouldn't translate well without the audience, without the crowd reaction.
Yes.
And without knowing the history. And,
I agree.
And people would say, why is he being so mean? You know, which would fit him, but still. It made sense that they reshot it.
It took me so back funny. To the good old days when Alan Coulter would just tear into him.
Oh, yeah.
You monkey with my shit one more time and I will rip, you know.
And there's a part of me hoping it's a little bit therapeutic for Mary. I mean, like, she got to just go off on him.
Yeah.
She cracks me up. She just sits there on the Barbara Gaines show and cracks me up. Like, I adore her. And it was neat to say, you know, I said hi to her, just a very subdued hi that night. And, you know, hey, good to see you. But one of the things that was my highlight, shout out to Marilyn Sargent.
And Darren not really being invited, but he went in anyway.
Yeah, I did. I sure did.
One of the things I loved about Mary that night is every time I would look and see if Jay Johnson was in front of her with the video camera or Sam was maybe taking a picture, she was with somebody that, you know, one of her old cohorts, she put a crazy look on her face. She stuck her tongue out or did something really, really funny. That was, Like, look at that. Oh, Darren and Marilyn, or Carolyn, as she's also known. Mary hugging Brian Tetta. I had a nice moment with Brian Tetta. And Jay Johnson there, of course. Brian came up to me. First thing he said was, really nice to meet you in person. And I was delighted by that, of course. And I just kind of looked at him. I said, are we going to do it? And he's like, we're going to do it. So Brian Tetta, again, the stories of some of these people, started as an intern, now is the executive producer of The View. The guy who accepts the Emmy is Brian Tetta. It's pretty crazy. I cannot wait to have him as a guest on the show and to talk about some of his moments. Yeah, that's...
I like this picture, Dawn, because it's you know, it's Libby. You finally got Libby in there.
There's Libby. It's my wife.
But just some of the staffers, you know, just in the Sullivan Theater, just kind of pondering.
Yep.
Or waiting for me to leave. That was the other thing. Because I was thinking of taking one of the guitars. Walter said, get back here.
That's a great picture of you, Darren. You braved it enough to, was that, that's not the front row, right? It's about halfway down.
I was in the front row. So I was seated as close as I could possibly get to where I was in 96.
Yeah.
And then I went and I stood on the stage, and I don't think the security guard liked that. I got a look.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, I'm going to get off the stage. Cause then Walter's like, guys, you really can't be in there.
Right. Oh, well, it's funny. Go ahead. What do we got here? Oh, look at that.
What's Worldwide Pants going to do? Fire me?
Yeah. Well, he could Borden, fire me. Joe Grossman. That's the problem.
Now, Bob Borden. Yeah, I got to tell Bob Borden how much I love the Four Corner Burrito Bonanza.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that bit. I love the name of it. I love the concept. I love the stupidity of it.
Yeah,
I loved everything about it. We're going to eat a burrito in four states. I'm like, come on. How do you get any better than that?
You know, I had a very nice Frank talk with Bob Borden. Look at that. It's photobombing Chris and Rob. Who's that? Who's that on the Bob Borden's right, Dawn?
A very good friend of mine.
Okay, excellent.
I don't know.
More pictures. Oh, there's the editors. Those guys are a bunch of savages. I can't wait. So we're talking about having them on the podcast, and Andrew was like, here, bring Dan over, you know, and I talked to them, and I started going through memories and stuff with them, and then they started just going off, and they're like, okay, we'll come on the show, but we want to all come together, and we all want to be drinking. So I was like, all right, well, if that's what we want to do, I think that'll be a pretty fun show. So we'll have to see if we can get those editors all together or in pairs maybe or something. But that should be a lot of fun.
Please let me join in on that fun. Please. These guys, I'm like, okay, I could hang with these guys all day long.
Absolutely. And another one, McEntee. I love McEntee.
Well, I like Walter butting in on this one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the following one, there's Mike and Walter.
Oh, that's great. That's so great. I said this with Candace, but I'll say
this
it again
one too. Sorry.
No, don't be sorry. Oh, I love that picture.
That's Candy's phone.
Oh, that's great.
With taking a picture of Joe.
Yeah. Sam has it in her camera still. I don't have it, but I've got a picture of Joe and I together both doing the, as he called it, the dead to the world face. That's what he calls it. That's what he calls the deadpan, the dead to the world. Joe made me laugh. That was one of my highlights. He made me laugh so hard three or four times with some of the stuff that he was saying. And I'm not going to say it out loud what he was saying, but it was just, he was absolutely effortlessly funny. And appreciative. When people appreciate him, what do you got there, Don?
Walter, I think, getting disgusted.
Yeah.
And there's Libby.
Libby looking on at at Walter.
Who's the guy behind Walter?
Like Little Pat, or it's or Little Kenny. I Pat would know, and because he Mike introduced me to him.
Looks like a composer.
Not Bill, that wasn't Bill Palumbo, was it? No, maybe. It's not. That's not Bill Palumbo.
I don't know.
But he works with them. He's a union guy, right?
I would suppose so. Yeah. damn, what was I thinking of? I want to find something here. Oh, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, it was funny. So there were so many of those people that were there. The emotion was really, really raw for some of the people that were there because, you know, the only reason why the theater was open was because we were using it as a walkway to bring stuff from the deli into the party. Like the party, it was so cool. The drinks, Rupert was literally emptying out the drinks that hadn't sold yet from the deli because he's done, right? And he was literally bringing those drinks in. We were hauling them in coolers into the lobby. And that was the beverages for the evening, or some of the beverages for the evening.
The soda machine was full.
The soda machine, we didn't empty. We emptied the other stuff, the ones that were, but the soda machine still had stuff in it at the end. And I want to talk to Don about that in a second. Thanks for reminding me of that, Don. But anyway, we were hauling stuff in. And a couple of the people who were hauling stuff in, I said to them, I said, is this your first time in the theater since, you know, like May 20th, 2015? And yeah. And how does it feel? Feels weird. And some of them were like, I have all these emotions coming out of me. It feels sad. It feels, you know, nostalgic, all of that stuff. Yeah, there's McEntee's ring.
And I was just going to, you know, you're married, Mike. Why are you wearing that? That's not what I was looking for. I'm trying to think of what I was doing.
Don, after when Darren and Steve and McEntee and us were under the marquee, you and Carolyn and Rupert and May and Irene and Nick were all in the Hello Deli, and you took what might have been the very last picture of Rupert and May in the deli. You took pictures of the Slurpee machine or the slush machine.
Yeah, there's the Slurpee machine.
There it is. I mean,
what was the other name for that? The Fruit Whippies?
Yeah, the Whippies, I think.
The Whippies, yeah.
Yeah, Irene Hoffman holding the Rupert Ave sign. That was issued by the city of New York, right? Would that have been last year?
No, Rupert said that someone sent it to him.
Oh, you're kidding. Okay.
Someone from out of town sent it to him, and he doesn't know what to do with it. I said, well, whatever you do, don't throw it out, you know, because you don't want it.
Because if you do throw it out, Don's going to get it out of the trash.
Well, yeah.
And then there it is right there. Like I don't, that might be the last time those two ever take a picture in that deli. And my word. I mean, you talk about the end of an era right there. I mean, how many times have we seen
I loved hanging out and talking with Mike, Mac, and Steve Young and you and everybody in front of the marquee. I didn't know you could go into the deli. Because I would have went into the deli one last time.
It was shut.
Yeah.
What happened? I asked Marilyn and Nick if they could drive me home, and they kind of demurred until I gave them like $5, and the parking lot was down on 53rd Street, so we're walking past the deli and we see and we wave, and Rupert he says, you know, come on, you know, waved us in. So it was closed, but it's like when you were there. It's Mike, right?
Yeah, it's Mike. Yeah.
Yeah, when May called you in.
Yeah.
You know, so we had no plan. You know, we didn't want to go in.
it was really cool.
Well,
that you
it's
had
like
that experience.
I went by and I showed Libby the theater.
Yep.
And I've got a picture outside it. And then later that night, I'm looking at it, and I look, and then I noticed that they're in there.
Yeah,
I didn't know they were in there. I was just, the lights were on, but I didn't think anybody was in there. So
yep.
I should have banged on the door. I want a Fruit Whippy. I want to come in there and touch the meat.
I took video. I went behind the counter and took videos of the all the display and the counters. Yeah. There's nothing there. All that was there were pots and ladles, and that was it.
Yeah. There was a sense of finality for certain walking through there. You know, the pictures are still on the wall of all the celebrities. You know, the
I asked him, you're gonna take them for yourself, of course, aren't you? He said, yeah. He also that there were like a couple T-shirts left. And there were those hang on, I'll get it.
Oh, you go. Oh, there we go.
He said, you know, just take what you want.
I need to ask Rupert if he has any more of the Hello Deli coffee mugs, because I should have ordered one before he gets rid of all of them.
Got one right here. That's one of the old ones. I don't know if that's the one from 15, I believe.
Yeah.
So what did you take, Don? What did you get there?
Well, I took a mug.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so that answers the question, Darren.
Don
reach out to Irene.
Mug.
They may have one.
PayPal. Yeah. I think I took this at the in the lobby.
Good for you.
I didn't know those. I didn't know those existed.
Yeah,
and they were on the table with the buttons. Guys.
Oh, you got a shot glass.
I got two, actually.
Oh. Time to slam some tequila, Don. Three of them.
Yeah.
Well, now.
Well, Don, you know, I'm just saying right now, there's two other guys here who would love to have one of those shot glasses.
Oh, yeah, and yeah, boy, yeah, yeah.
Did I pick the wrong time to stop drinking?
It's always the wrong time to stop drinking.
Line them up at the Hello Deli. And then... Darren, you alluded to it, and Don, you jump back in anytime you want, but I do want to spend a little bit of time. The next night, Darren, you and I, there was a dinner that was arranged at the Mansion on the Upper East Side. The Mansion is a diner that's been around for a long time. But they shoot the show Only Murders in the Building there.
Only Murders in the Building.
Yeah, and it's very close to Steve Weiner, Stephen Laurie's, and I mean, I love Stephen Laurie, and Candy and I talked about them in our episode. You know, we decided to get together a group of people who kind of knew each other, some a little bit better than others, but a group together in that diner the next night. And it was Steve Young, Steve O'Donnell, Steve Weiner. So three comedy writers, Rupert and Irene, of course, Darren and Libby, myself and Candace, Lori, Steve's wife.
Yeah.
Am I missing anybody? Is that everybody?
I was there.
Don was invited, but he didn't make the trek.
Don and his imaginary wife, Linda.
I was cleaning the food and the plates in the back.
Right, that's right. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
Darren, did you have? I'm sorry. Did you have a main course, or did you? Mike said he had a mac and cheese.
He had mac and cheese, tomato soup, and I asked him, "I'm like, are they going to bring you applesauce? Are you going to get a cookie?"
So nope. Did anyone get the $80 main course?
Oh, not at the Mansion. It was a very reasonably priced diner, and the food was good.
Gotcha.
And I was the all night. I kept saying, you know, Libby and I took the subway up there, and we got there way early, but we didn't know how long it took to get up there. So we got there before anybody else, and we're waiting. And I'm looking at the menu, and I kept thinking, I'm gonna get the gyro sandwich. The gyro looks delicious. I'm gonna get the gyro. Steve O'Donnell ordered the East Side breakfast platter, which was a ham steak, eggs, and three silver dollar pancakes.
Hey, this is getting creepy.
And I ordered the same thing that Steve O'Donnell ordered.
Oh, okay. That's why.
I was like, because if I'm at a place and you can eat breakfast all day long, I usually almost always order breakfast. But I didn't want to seem silly. But I was like, no, Steve O'Donnell's going to order breakfast. I ordered breakfast.
I almost did. But then I saw the mac and cheese and tomato soup as a side. I was like, yeah. And then I had a milkshake as well. All comfort food for me that night.
Yep.
I walk in and Steve O'Donnell has a gift for me.
Nice.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That was one of the softball shirts from back in the day. So I was very, very blessed to get that. And I mean, just listening to those three bounce off each other was listening to Steve Weiner, who has a background. He and Lori have a background with Broadway. And talking about Broadway stuff, and then Steve Young making the connections with some of the industrial musicals and people who, you know, worked in both. That was phenomenal. Listening to Steve O'Donnell, like Steve O'Donnell told, I'm not even going to say it here because I'm saving it, but maybe if I have Dave on the show, I was a wrestling promoter and Steve O'Donnell told the funniest, like it's the funniest line. It made me laugh out loud and still does to this day. I'm going to say that to somebody one day. I asked him if I could use the line, but I mean the jokes that were just coming out of their mouths fast and furious. Yeah. It was absolutely hilarious. And then you had Rupert on the other side of the table and insightful and telling all these stories. And it was just it was a really cool night.
Yeah. And they were going on and on and on about Robert Klein and George Carlin and Tom Lehrer and I can't even remember. And then, you know, they're talking about all these great comedians from the 50s and the 60s. And I know on our walk back, I had asked Steve, you know, what he thought about the Smothers Brothers, and he just absolutely loved the Smothers Brothers. So we started talking about them, and I mean, just the gabbing on and on and on about it. It was a great evening. Yep. It was really, really great.
And then it turns out Rupert and Lori grew up right, like close to each other, and they had five or six different connections, which was really cool as well. And it was just, it was such a neat mix of people from different places, of course, but different places in time as well within the Letterman universe. Like when it was cool introducing Steve to Rupert, Steve Weiner to Rupert as the guy who discovered Calvert DeForest. And Rupert really, and those two having the interactions that they did, like it was, you know, in the Marvel movies, they talked about, you know, the Russo brothers talk about in Avengers in Infinity War, you know, the different characters from different movies talking to each other for the first time. And they called it strange alchemy. And that reminds me a little bit of what the feeling was watching some of these guys from different generations talk to each other, different places, talk to each other. And have these realizations and to be kind of a fly on the wall and see these moments and be a catalyst for it, because Darren or people like Darren or myself lobbing up all of these moments and reminding them, like I loved Darren when you got O'Donnell and Young for that matter, and Rupert for that matter.
Yeah.
To sign your top 10 list book.
Yeah.
And watching O'Donnell go through each like different pages of the book.
Yep.
Knowing some of the references, that was so neat. And there it is right there, Don Han holding it up, the inscriptions into Darren's top 10 book.
Steve O'Donnell said, Durwood, look for a veiled reference to you on page 98. Steve Young says, look for a non-veiled references to you on pages 11, 36, 52, 76, and 151. And then... Steve Weiner, I had nothing to do with this, so don't blame me. I mean, it's like, you know, I looked and I was going through all the credits and Steve Weiner wasn't on the book of top 10 list. And I was like, well, this pissed him off asking him to sign a book that he didn't have anything to do with. That he just, well, shit, I had nothing to do with it. So don't blame. I was like, perfect, perfect. And of course, in Rupert, didn't write any top 10 list, but he signed it too.
Yeah. Well, that's just fantastic. What a,
yeah. I got the Rupert and the three Steves.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a hell of a lot of fun. By the way, hey, you guys want to know some news that nobody knows about yet? You know, the late night bumpers that we all love so much.
Yeah. Hey, no one's watching this. Go ahead.
I was having a conversation with Mark Carson and Mark Carson is toying with the idea of putting out some late show bumper prints, and he'd put four to a page that would be very frameable. And he showed me a couple of mock-ups and things like that. And he was asking me, do you think it's a good idea? Should I do this? And I said, yeah, Mark, I think you should do that. I really, really do, to get some of these bumpers out there to some fans and having four to a frame print. So anyway, just so you know, that might be happening. I thought that might be a cool thing.
I've got a buddy who a couple of weeks ago took a picture of a coffee stain. And he says, I'm thinking about submitting this to a museum. And then I went and got my book and I said, Letterman beat you to this 30 years ago.
Yep. What were you going to say, Don?
Oh, it's good that that Mark told you that confidentially.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Hey, It's just between the three of us.
It's just between the three of us now. And we're, don't worry, you, nobody watches.
We're people who can be trusted.
We're gonna have Mark back on here sooner than later, and to go through. And there's an idea of maybe having him for some separate segments of going through, you know, maybe a 3 or 4 minute video on each bumper, and then including it in every episode, something like that. So we're thinking about toying around with the format and adding little value adds to the show, that kind of a thing. I think we're, you know, as we're kind of moving towards the end here, I do want to finish on Rupert, because I mean, that's why we all got together for this. And you know, you talk about the idea of a catalyst, the idea for an event happening to celebrate some good things. And you look at the three of us talking about all of these things that happened to us over the last, you know, few days in New York. You know, Don, it was a subway ride for you, but for Darren and I, you know, we flew, you know, on big old airplanes to get there.
Safe and again, to say, I'll be there next week and 3 weeks from now. So it's,
That's right. But you know, finishing things off to talk about, you know, Rupert and May, and I think that's a good place to, in the Hello Deli and the impact on pop culture itself. You know, what are some takeaways from, I mean, obviously the three of us, we will never forget this. I'm glad that we can talk about it here. Let's finish strong talking about Rupert and May and the Hello Deli.
I like when Dave referred to May as May G.
Oh God. Oh, was that funny?
And people are going to think that's her name.
Oh yeah. Cause every once in a while when she'd be on camera, people thought, you know, and Dave would say, "Oh, is that your wife?" I loved when they would do that.
Well, I was happy to be at the party because me and you, Mike, I think we represented, because so many people there at the party were staffers and had worked with Rupert, but you and I were the true fans, the people who had seen him and enjoyed the appearances, and from the outside looking in, admired him for strictly for his entertainment. And then you got to know him because, you know, he's the sponsor of your podcast and everything.
Yeah.
But I mean, I just wanted to tell him that as a fan, and I am a fan of Rupert G, he was the nicest person in New York when I was there in 96. And the food I had at his deli was very good, and it was reasonably priced, which is a hard thing to find.
Absolutely.
In New York City.
Absolutely.
So, you know, him leaving, retiring, and the Hello Deli closing is, it's a big deal. It's something that you're not going to see again.
Yeah. And Don, I think about like how much time you spent there. I think about even the last week, stuff you and I've talked about of the last week of shows, never mind all the years previous to that. You know, seeing pictures and footage of you and Marilyn and some of the AFLers in the deli, you know, that last week, I think about some of the big moments that you've seen, been a part of. Hell, all the bananas you've eaten from that deli. You know, I'm really curious about your perspective about this place closing. That it kind of was a home base for a lot of people who love Letterman throughout the years, wasn't it?
I was his sponsor at AA, so... it's a very, you don't talk about that stuff. And I remember we went to Atlantic City and, I lost all of his earnings.
Yep.
But he's okay. You know, he's okay. He doesn't care. It's just money.
I think we've lost.
Never bet on the Jets.
I'm not good at that.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, and just like you're not good at gambling, it seems. It's fitting though.
He cuts my hair.
it's fitting that you did probably take the last picture of those two. I'm really grateful that you did record the entire evening. And I mean, we've seen snippets of it in the AFL Facebook group, the Alt Fan Letterman Facebook group, for those who are wondering. I've got the Letterman Podcast Facebook group, and we're putting up a lot of these photos and videos and things, and I'm certain that you'll be tinkering with the footage as well, and other things will come out. I'm just grateful that we all got to be part of this event together, and then we've got to. I'm really grateful that, of course, the Letterman Channel put up the you know, their official version of it, but it's cool that we can talk about this and we can kind of share these moments with those who all would feel the same way about how
remember
we feel
I
about
said,
this.
Remember what I said about, you know, overanalyzing stuff?
Yes, I know. I'm doing it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. thank you for that, buddy. I appreciate it.
For the first time ever, I agree with Don.
Yeah, that won't happen again. And the best part is I don't have to come here anymore.
Any final words? Okay. How about a goodbye and a good luck for Rupert and Irene? Cause they're going to be watching this in May, of course. They're going to be watching this. So any last words for Rupert and May, everybody, before I shut her down?
Thanks, Alex.
Yeah. Darren?
Rupert, do you have any more bananas? Rupert, it was great. It was great knowing you. It was great meeting. Rupert, it was great meeting you. It was great meeting Irene. And I got to talk to May a little bit. But I've already said that, you know, the deli was an establishment. It was an incredible deli. And again, it was great food at a reasonable price. And you're the nicest person in New York City. So whenever people came to your deli to meet you and they, you know, stayed to eat some of the food, then it was like icing on the cake. So, but I wish you all the absolute best of luck, and I'm so thrilled that I got to meet you and hang out with you.
Well said. I'm just on behalf of the tens of thousands of people who always wanted a New York experience or a Letterman experience or whatever it was that brought them to the Hello Deli over the 30 plus years that you and May were there, Rupert. On behalf of the people who came there and received such a warm welcome. A warm cup of coffee, a warm sandwich, a warm t-shirt, whatever it was. The warmest part about it was you two and the reception that you gave
people. A worn t-shirt? He was selling worn t-shirts?
Warm, W-A-R-M. But, you know, who knows? I mean, the t-shirts that I got were, you know, they wear pretty well. Darren's looks pretty sharp there. On behalf of everybody out of the Letterman fan enthusiast community, thank you so much for everything that you guys have done, and we
he's
appreciate
not dead.
You. What's that?
He's not dead.
I know.
Hey, asshole, he's not dead.
That's right, and we're not going to say any more than that, but that's it. This has been another episode of the Letterman Podcast with Mike Chisholm,
the best ever.
He's Darren Cox, he's Don Giller. My name is Mike Chisholm. Thank you and good night.
Overcoat and underpants.